Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues, a daily radio broadcast designed specifically, as it states, to face the issues. And as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind us once again that we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, not some ideology or some philosophy or some denominational rites, rituals, rules, or regulations. But what does the Word of God say? After all, when everything is said and done, it's God's Word that is first, foremost, and final, and it ought to be that way in each of our lives. But the Scripture says, Jesus speaking in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." So therefore, when we talk about issues, we do so from the source book called truth, that is the Word of God, the Bible. So ladies and gentlemen, as we start out today, I want to remind you that you can call in at any time and join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. And let me remind us once again, ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues, is designed around you, our listening audience. You make the conversation, you make the dialogue and the discussion what it should be as you call in and have your say-so, your questions. By the way, we talk about political issues. We talk about social, economic issues. We talk about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues. And ladies and gentlemen, any of those issues, as we talk about them, they're under the all-encompassing Word of God. Therefore, they're biblical issues, and they need to be dealt with from a central biblicist standpoint. Central biblicist standpoint simply means it faces the issues we talk about. The issue is based on what does the Scripture say, and not based on some philosophy. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into our monologue today, and by the way, we're going to be talking about the subject, a question: have we lost our moral compass? Have we lost our moral compass? And I'm talking about America and our states and individuals and our communities. Have we lost our moral compass? As someone put it not too long ago, have we lost our freaking mind? And so I'm going to put it a little more narrowly, have we lost our moral compass? But before we get into the monologue and then the discussion today, let me remind us that my latest book, The Coming Antichrist, just hit the market shelves. It's a 144-page book, 7 chapters. It retails for $16.99. And I want to remind you that if you go to the Internet, go to info@conservative.edu, info@conservative.edu, leave your contact information. Someone will call you back, take your order. We're going to make a special offer today, 2 of these books, 1 for you and 1 for you to give to a friend. 2 of these books for $20. We pay the shipping cost for you, and it's just $20 for the 2 books, and it's The Coming Antichrist. Let me just read you a little excerpt from the table of contents dealing with the Antichrist and who he is. And many have come up with all kinds of philosophies and thoughts down through the years. But let me just simply say this. His complete perversion is talked about, page 101 and following. He will be spiritually idolatrous. He will be sexually immoral. He will be supernaturally influential, talking about the Antichrist. He will be sinfully irreverent. He will be satanically inspired. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this is something that many talk about, but many, many, many have never read what the Bible says about the coming Antichrist. And so I want you to know, I'm thankful for this book. I am thankful for the labor that's gone into it and the opportunity for it to be into your hands that you can read it and understand. Most people talk about the 666, the mark in the hand or the head, but they don't really understand what is happening in that era. They don't understand that the Christian will not go through the tribulation. Therefore, as Christians, we will not face the Antichrist. But if we understand who the Antichrist is and what the Bible says about his coming, it should cause us with great passion to tell the good news, share the good news with friends, relatives, co-workers, and neighbors to make sure that they're not left behind to face the Antichrist. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is info@conservative.edu. I urge you to get this book, read the book, share with your Sunday school members, others, if you're a pastor. Good preaching material in there that you can share with your congregation what the Bible says about the coming Antichrist. Well, ladies and gentlemen, while we're still in shock and awe, as I call it, shock and sadness, shock and still seeking answers to the Nicholas Cruz murder of 17 students in Parkland, Florida, we seem to have forgotten some of the basic causes of such atrocities in our nation. We seem to have forgotten what is the fundamental cause. I've listened to Fox News and others down through the past several days now as they have talked about these issues. They've interviewed dozens and dozens of people, and they're basically wanting to know what could have caused this, what could have motivated this. They're looking at every aspect of it. And, of course, you know, the those that want to ban our Second Amendment right, the right to keep and bear arms. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about that on tomorrow's broadcast. The subject will be tomorrow, gun control. What is gun control? Why should we respond to Nicholas Cruz and his murder of 17 people? Should we just cancel the right to keep and bear arms? Should we cancel our Second Amendment right? We'll talk about that tomorrow. But if you're interested in that subject, tune in tomorrow. Make plans now to dial in, call in, and ask your questions and have your comments about it. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, one of the problems that we have today, and many are not talking about it. In fact, I don't know that I've heard anybody on the television, any of the news channels, that have talked about this. One of the basic problems that we find with Nicholas Cruz and what he's done. Now, we can talk about all the peripherals, that it was not caught, the FBI didn't do their job, and we can go on and on with the peripherals. That's not the focus. That's not the concentration. That's not the real fundamental, rudimentary, elemental problem. The problem is, in our nation today, we have forgotten the standard that God has set forth in His Word in relationship to parental authority and responsibility over a child. Now, I understand that in the society in which we're living in today, it's getting increasingly more difficult for parents to exercise their parental authority, biblically speaking, to exercise their biblical authority in training the child. The scripture is very clear in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. That is the exact transliteration from the Hebrew text of Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way, the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should go, not that he wants to go, but that he should go, not that he could go, but that he should go, not that his little wicked heart tells him to go, but the way that he should go. And the scripture says in the Hebrew transliteration, and when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. Ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, we have a whole group of society today that's called the millennials. Now, if you're listening and you're between the age of 18 and 35, I'm not hammering on you. If you're between the ages of 18 and 35, I'm not trying to denigrate you or to diss you, as it is called in societal speaking today. But the 18 to 35-year-old age group, the millennials today, only 4%, hear me, only 4% have a biblical worldview. And when I say only 4% have a biblical worldview, that simply means that only 4% of the millennials today, 18 to 35-year-old age group, only 4% of them look at life through the prism of the Word of God. Look at life through the theological doctrinal prism of what does the Word of God say. They, only 4%, look at life on the basis of thus saith the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm frightened with that, because more and more of the leadership on a national level, politically, socially, and morally, and academically, et cetera, spiritually, more and more of that age group's coming into positions of authority and leadership in our nation. We're in trouble because, ladies and gentlemen, out of that 4% of the millennials with a biblical worldview. 57% of that 4%, listen carefully, 57% of that 4% believe that sodomite marriage is okay, that drugs are all right, that drinking is not problematic. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong when there's such a lack of a standard. There's something wrong when the standard is so far away from the Word of God. Now, I understand that we're not in a theocracy in America. I understand that we do not have, as in Iran, where the Ayatollah Khomeini is responsible for, and everything is operated by the Quran. That's not my ideal. That's not my philosophical debate today. But I do say that we are birthed as a Christian nation. Our founding fathers were believers and God-fearers. Our founding fathers set up our documents based on the authority of the Word of God. You find in our founding fathers and in the documents that we have today that's called our Constitution, and in that our Bill of Rights, you find more and more and more as you read it, references to and philosophies from and seed thoughts coming from the Word of God. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, God's Word sets the standard. Yet man seems to have the idea that we have superior knowledge. Somehow man has the idea that I have a better way. But ladies and gentlemen, some of the things as I'm continuing with my monologue today in relationship to the question, have we lost our moral compass? And I want us to understand what are some of the promulgating causes. What are some of the reasons and the rationale behind the loss of a moral, ethical, biblical, doctrinal, theological, spiritual compass? Why have we done so? For example, one of the major contributing elements in that, not only the fact that as parents we have failed, and I say we, I'm using that generically speaking for universality of parenthood in America, we have failed to obey the Scripture in using the switch when it is necessary. Scripture says you beat him with a rod, he'll not surely die. And I use a little modification of that. If you beat him with a rod, he'll not surely die, even though he might sound like it. And I understand that in the modern culture that we're in, they say, that's child abuse. No, it God created a place just below the waist that is a good cushion spot that moms and dads need to use the belt and the switch that will get little Junior's attention for him to be obedient to authority in the home and in the realm of his work and in the realm of society today. That's lost. Part of that is because not just the parental lack of authority, but because we are in a sin-saturated, drug-soaked society today. And there are those that will talk about marijuana is okay. But ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that marijuana is the gateway drug for heroin and for the opioids that we talk about now is a crisis condition? The federal government's just set aside, I believe it's $136 million to be used to fight the opioid crisis. The state of Florida just set aside some $50 million to be used in the state of Florida for the opioid crisis, as it's called. And here in Jacksonville, Florida, we're now rapidly chasing down the rat hole, as I call it, to implement rules and regulations to allow the so-called medical marijuana to set up its pot shops on every street corner in our city. We're going to talk about that later in this week. We'll be interviewing some people from city council. We'll be interviewing someone from the U.S. House of Representatives. We'll talk about that at that time. But we're going to talk about some of these issues and what we ought to do as Christians. You see, as Christians, we ought not to sit back and pull our hair with our hair's on fire and say, woe is me, what should I do? We can do something. And it's not being overly political. We need to be involved in the process. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you need to be rapidly on the telephone talking with city council members, legislators in Tallahassee, the House of Representatives and the Senate. There are a number of bills in Tallahassee today that will make a difference in the direction of our society in the state of Florida. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject of have we lost our moral compass? And you can call in at 401-1413, 904-401-1413. I encourage you to call in. Join in the dialogue, the discussion. I'd love to hear from you as to whether or not this broadcast is effectual, is effective, or beneficial in your life. Is this daily broadcast really helpful? Are you listening? Are you wanting to do something? Do you want to get on board? Do you want to find a place where you can plug in and be involved in making a change and not just sitting back and saying that as Christians, we are having this done and we can do nothing about it? Ladies and gentlemen, one of the problems today is the silence on the part of the Christian majority, the silence on the part of the Christian majority. But opioids today is one of the major problems, and yet we are not admitting to ourselves and to the nation that the opioid problem and the fentanyl problem, legal drugs as they're called, getting in the hands of those that ought not to have them, the problem is as a result of opening Pandora's box through marijuana. Marijuana, that's the gateway drug to all other drugs. And yet, in the state of Florida, we have passed by referendum, some 71% of the Floridians said, we want medical marijuana. The term medical and marijuana are just almost oxymorons. There is an element in the marijuana plant that the syrup from that, in some cases, can be beneficial for medicinal purposes. But it needs to be packaged in such a way that it can be sold at the drugstores and not go into a pot shop and pay $120 to $150, get a little certificate that says that's a prescription, go to the other end of the counter and get your pot and get hooked on pot, and you want a higher response, and therefore you go to the opioids and the heroin, et cetera, et cetera. It is a major, major, major destructive drug. California and Colorado have experienced that, and other states across America, due to the open medical marijuana attitude, due to the attitude of the public acceptance of marijuana sales. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know it or not, but the federal law still says it's illegal. The federal law says it's still illegal to sell marijuana. You understand that? We have border patrols today trying to interdict the marijuana transportation coming out of parts of the globe around us, coming out of Canada, coming out of which is coming from other states and nations, and coming through the Canadian border, coming through the southern border by way of Nicaragua and through Mexico and other places. And yet we have those trying to interdict it, but we at the same time are setting up laws, opening Pandora's box, making it legal, as we call it. And yet it's a federal law that says no. This has now developed into a tax-funded heroin injection centers in California. Listen, here's an article that says California heroin injection centers to open. Who says marijuana isn't the gateway drug? This is the caption title of this article. San Francisco is on track to open its first two safe injection sites in July, a milestone would likely make the city the first in the country to embrace the controversial model as allowing drug users to shoot up under supervision paid for by the taxpayers. When San Francisco legalized marijuana, legislators promised, and I quote, that would be the end of it, they said, quote, we won't tolerate any harder drugs. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, because of the mega tax fund, revenue that's coming in to the state of California, they're talking about now a $5.1 billion revenue coming in from marijuana. 38.2% of that is sales tax. So the politicians are going to simply feed off the destruction of our citizens in the state of California. The safe injection sites, as it's called, will initially be privately funded, one that's the head of that group says, and they're doing so for plausible deniability so that the city cannot be legally liable. She said that will help the city avoid liability since intravenous drug use is against state and federal law. Opening the sites doesn't require the approval of the Board of Supervisors, according to this article, in the state of California, specifically in San Francisco. Ladies and gentlemen, have we lost our mind? Have we lost our moral compass that we are sitting back and saying, well, the politicians are doing this, the Board of Aldermen, the City Council, the legislators, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our government in America is of the people, for the people, and by the people. Don't sit back in silence with the philosophy and the attitude that we can do nothing about it. Do you want to know what has happened in the state of Colorado, for example? Ladies and gentlemen, they've had now legalized marijuana for the past 3 years. The thing is that it is so frightening to me the addiction statistically of Colorado reveal. Number one, marijuana getting into the hands of kids through gummy bears and brownies and chocolate bars and cookies, et cetera, et cetera. They don't realize they're laced with marijuana. And there's no set amount, ladies and gentlemen. There's no pharmaceutical board that says you can have so much of this deadly drug in a candy bar or in a gummy bear, et cetera. So it's in the home where moms and dads are using it in Colorado. Kids get a hold to it, and overdose is exponentially high in the state of Colorado. Major increase in drug abuse and absolute total addiction. Death and by way of overdose increased exponentially in Colorado in the past 2 years in particular. Auto accidents and major increase of impairment as a result of impaired drivers. Increase in home invasions and thefts and burglaries and robberies by addicts trying to get more money to buy more drugs. I could go on and on and on and on. An increase of the mentally ill in Colorado as a result of the drug impairment that marijuana and other drugs are causing. Yes, I'm talking about the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that as a people, as a citizenry, we have lost our minds. We have lost our moral compass. And one of the major things that's causing that, ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten away from the Word of God. We left God's Word. The philosophy and the attitude is, well, I don't need a Bible to tell me what to do. I don't need to be like other goody-goody two-shoes. And there's the laughter and the mockery, just like with Joy Behar on the Always Bashing Christians Network, ABC Network, Always Bashing Christians, where she made fun of Vice President Mike Pence and said that if you talk to Jesus and Jesus talks to you, you're mentally ill. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in that camp. I'm mentally ill. I talk to the Lord Jesus. He talks to me through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm thankful for that privilege and the prerogative that I have to know Christ as Savior. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, just on the news this morning, the morning news, on Fox News, there was a sheriff from Denver, Colorado, and he was talking about the horrors of not being able to control crime due to drugs in his city. Now, I want to know, what are we doing? What is it that on one side of the coin, we're talking about the detriment, the death, and the devastation, and the horror, and the degradation of drugs, and yet we're on the fast pace in every state trying to see who can be next in legalizing marijuana, which is the gateway. Let me repeat it again, ladies and gentlemen. It is the gateway to every other drug, and yet we're concerned about the other drugs? Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, heroin now kills more people than guns. Drug overdoses claimed 50,000 lives in the U.S. just last year. More than 50,000 Americans died from drug overdose last year, the highest figure ever. The total number of gun deaths, which included suicides and accidents, rose 7% last year, and the drug overdose rose 23% in the United States of America last year. That should be frightening to our listeners. You should be petrified over hearing that. But ladies and gentlemen, this is bad enough. But when on the heels of that, we're destroying the morals in our society, we through the LGBTQ and whatever other acronym letters they add to that, it is the sodomite push in America today that's forcing stores like Walgreens now to open its bathroom doors. Yep, you heard me right. Walgreens. 8,100 stores across the nation. Walgreens has confirmed their new bathroom policy in a telephone conversation and recorded by telephone, and I have the printout on that where the corporate offices are verifying Walgreens' state and stand behind the new policy. Ladies and gentlemen, Walgreens has 8,100 stores in America, and their position is literally this. Listen, and I'm quoting from Walgreens' written policy. All individuals have a right to use bathroom facilities that correspond with the individual's gender identity, regardless of the individual's sex assigned at birth. Go into your local Walgreens. Ask for the manager. Ask the manager, are they aware of this new policy? I've asked two managers in Walgreens. I've asked two store managers if they were aware of it, and they have not even been informed by corporate that that's the new policy. I reckon they're thinking that if you keep it quiet, then the store managers won't be alert to the potentiality of rapes or pedophiles or video voyeurism in the bathrooms at Walgreens. I'm saddened by it. I'm saddened to see us denigrate to the position that we're allowing such to take place. Ladies and gentlemen, in the state now, under House Bill 871. There's a bill that is designed to protect Christian businesses from the enforcement of the LGBT community trying to force Christian businesses to bend to the whims of the Sodomite community and the Sodomite push to demoralize our nation and our cities and our states. We have that same problem here in Jacksonville, Florida, where there's a push with the HRO. They're not satisfied to get equal rights. They want superior rights. They're not satisfied to be protected by the state constitution and the federal constitution. They want special exceptions that allows them to force the Christian community, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to force us to accept and to embrace and to approve their loose, lax, law, sodomite lifestyle. And ladies and gentlemen, that's happening. As a result of that push across the nation, here's an article that says Baptists agree to start hiring homosexuals for mission service. You heard me right. Let me read a brief blurb from the article for just a moment to set the stage. The article says, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, known as CBF, a denomination which splintered from the Southern Baptist Convention in 1991 over theological differences, has agreed to start hiring homosexuals for denominational staffing positions. Yes, in 1991, they split from the Southern Baptist Convention because that group of loose, lax, lost liberals, they called themselves moderates at the time, because they disagreed with the virgin birth. They denied the reality of hell. They denied the reality of a personage known as Satan. And here they are now showing the end result of that plummet from doctrinal theological truth, that plummet to the degradation and the basement of evil, where they are now embracing the Sodomite lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, my Bible says that God has given them over to a reprobate mind. In fact, in the 28th verse of chapter 1 of the book of Romans, and even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, are not proper, are not godly, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject today. Have we lost our moral compass? You want me to answer that? Yes, we have. We have not only lost our moral compass, we've destroyed the moral compass because we walked away from the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there are three states that have embraced the teaching of Bible in the classroom. Three states that have determined that we need to do something about it. And those three states I want to commend, Alabama, Arizona, and I've forgotten the other state. Alabama, Arizona, another state have agreed to start teaching Bible in the classroom. That's a starting point. And I'm thankful to know that that starting point is there because I'm praying that it absolutely proliferates across America and allows us to realize that the thing that we need to do is get back to God. We need to turn back to God. We need to turn back to the Bible. We need to seek God. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to humble ourselves and seek His face and ask Him to forgive us of our sins that He might heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that we can do is to recognize the plummeted degradation position that we're in having lost our moral compass today, and go back to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to have sway in our lives. I pray that you've been challenged by this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.